painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This is Brianna Klaprick. On today's show, Bill Stoneberg and I are invited into the studio of a soon-to-be alum from Winona State University's art department. Majoring in studio art, this 22-year-old sculptor, painter, and printmaker shares his experiences in the art world of a state school. We'll learn about the different methods he uses in creating work and how the past 4.5 years has shaped him as an artist.
My name is Jared Schmoker. I am a senior at Winona State, an art studio major with a focus on painting and printmaking, and I also like doing sculpture. From La Crosse, so I'm not too far away, but
I'm going to take you back a little bit. Do you know of any defining moments in your life where when you were younger that led you to want to pursue art?
I've always had an interest in art. In fact, I have a bunch of my drawings. Both my mom and my dad have drawings from when I was a kid, kept those, and I've always found that kind of fun. I was kind of split between doing art and being what I called a diamond finder. Basically, it's somebody who goes mining for precious gems, because I was pretty interested in that. And ironically, that's kind of come up in more recent art.
Diamond finding?
Well, not diamond finding, but minerals and rocks. And
do you think being educated in art's helping you in your process?
Oh, without a doubt, you need an art history background. In fact, what was it, my sophomore year? I remember there was a class in art history. It was in an art history one class. And there's a specific lecture that I remember talking about Islamic art and kind of older Islamic art. And I remember even just that 15 minutes kind of sparked off the entire year's work just in that, and it kind of kicked me off going through this other stuff. So, I mean, one art class kind of had something click for me. So it's very important. I came to Winona instead of an art school, mainly for two reasons. First, I got accepted here, so I didn't have to apply for anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And because I also had more interest than just art here. And obviously, at an art school, you wouldn't be getting things like science and psychology and all mm-hmm. that fun stuff, which I also do enjoy. And what I really like about Winona as well, contrary to what I hear at bigger schools, is we get studio spaces. Like, I've had this space here, I think this is my third year. And at a certain point, just after introductory classes, you get to go kind of on your own direction. And if you exhibit that you got some fortitude and, you know, you can work by yourself, they'll let you go with whatever you want. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the last couple of years.
What's your creative process like now?
Just since the summer, actually, it's been kind of sporadic and tweaky. I really don't have a set thing like, oh, I want to do this and this. Usually I just have these sparks. I look at something like, oh, I can use this, and it'll just rapidly kind of put itself together, kind of a project I can make out of them. So that's why I actually have to carry around a notebook with me, because otherwise I'll lose it, because I got so many of these things that something as silly as looking at the ground and seeing some really kind of interesting cracks in the concrete, and they'll be like, wow, I can do something kind of related to this. So even more so, I've noticed that it's just really kind of spontaneous.
Would you say your work kind of reflects life or nature in the way that you go about making it, or the way that you're inspired by things that you see or things that you find?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have admitted that back in the day, a couple of years ago, but I've found that looking at sources outside of the art world has been really interesting and kind of helpful for what I'm doing. It's just kind of this weird geometric patterns that have kind of come out of this. That previous work was really flowy and kind of crackly and urban decay looking. Now it's kind of getting cleaner, and I don't know, it's kind of an interesting, like, I'm not consciously doing this, it's just how it's taken itself or moving itself.
So how long did it take for you to reach this methodology that you use today? Or if you feel like you've reached a certain thing that's going to be part of your process in the future?
Well, I've always kind of had the same process. It's more of how I execute. Either there's a material, just kind of a way that I want to divide a painting, that I kind of go with that, and then there's not really 100% thought out end product. It's more of a reactionary kind of process. And usually what I like to do is work on you know, anywhere from 2 to 6 or 7 works at a time, just to keep things moving so they're not stale and whatnot. As for like consciously deciding where I'm going in directions, kind of a natural thing, knowing what works and what doesn't work, I guess just kind of evolving taste.
You said you worked on multiple pieces at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about doing that? Like, you work on one until you're stuck, or you just keep moving on purpose?
Well, usually a lot of my works involve layering, so I have to wait for layers to dry. But also, it's just kind of a habitual thing that, you know, if I do get stuck or something, if I'm not kind of in between if I want to go on or if I want to leave it, I'll just let it sit and just keep on moving, so I'm not just stuck looking at this unfinished or finished painting.
You mentioned a lot about how materials affect your process, like waiting for it to dry or being inspired to move in a different direction depending on how it's handling what you're doing to it. What kind of materials do you use and why?
Well, the big reason for the diversity of the materials that I use is I'm not necessarily trying to make traditional materials such as oil paints or acrylics or watercolors look a certain way. I kind of like the natural look of the material itself. So, for example, masking tape, I'll leave the masking tape on there because I like the color of it. So, I mean, some of the materials, obviously, masking tape is one of them. I just got introduced to Bondo, which is a nice alternative to plastic that I was using earlier. I also have a 5-gallon bucket of tar that I like to use. And the reason I really like that tar is because it's got a really interesting, natural kind of dimension to it that when you thin it out, it turns into a completely different color than if it's globbed up. So I think kind of using the natural colors of the materials I'm using is kind of where I've been headed.
What do you think led you to these mediums?
Probably the freedom that I was allowed here. Actually, the first painting that I consider a painting, I actually did in an advanced drawing class. So it's kind of that kind of sparked it, that then I started using texture and then just kept on going. And then texture was a big driving force behind the materials that I was using.
So you're also a printmaker as well, is that true?
Yep, and I do sculpt. Well, I kind of like to do everything, but except I haven't really done a whole bunch of ceramics. I might eventually. Yeah, but printmaking is my other main focus.
I was going to ask how that work differs from your, I guess I'll call this painting.
How this relates to printmaking?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I like about printmaking. It's very processed, which is very different from, say, the paintings, which are kind of immediate, where in printmaking you actually have to plan times to have appropriate shades of black or whatever color you're using. So intaglio is what I like to use. Intaglio is, well, the kind that we use is basically taking a copper plate, coating it in a liquid asphalt, and then removing the asphalt in certain places with a little needle tool. You're not actually creating lines with the tool, but you're letting the acid ferric chloride do the actual etching for you. So you get a nice smooth base where the ink can stay in. And then you print on that so that the ink is actually inside of the plate versus a relief, which the ink is on top of the plate. So the paper goes into the plate and brings out the ink. And that's the kind of process, a little different process than how currency is made. Yeah, I like printmaking too because there's a lot of not knowing what's going on. Because you can always try to completely seal plate up, but it's not always going to work that way. And I kind of like that not knowing. So with like plates, I won't completely cover them up and just see what the acid does by itself. So that's a little bit more chancier and a little bit more out of my hands, which is kind of a nice change from this, where I, for the most part, know what I'm doing, or at least know how the paint's going to interact with the painting itself.
Are there any themes in your work that come up no matter what your style is at the moment?
A conscious use of line and how that line divides the space, I think. For me, some abstract work can be really haphazard and kind of too reactionary, and I want to have a little bit of thought behind it, so it looks more thought out and just kind of haphazard.
If you had to define your style or genre, have you given it thought?
Yeah, you could If you really want like really nerdy stuff, I could say like post, neo, abstract, minimalism, expressionism. I don't know. You could. Okay. Minimal has been what I've been working towards, just because I've learned how to cut the fluff, cut out stuff I really don't need. So just the reduction and stuff. I figured that the more you know, the less you're gonna need, because you can put those key elements in the right spot without having to have fodder all around it.
So if you had to describe the visual experience of looking at a piece of your work, what should someone expect, or what do you want them to feel?
I kind of like kind of mysterious, I think. I get that kind of vibe from when I look at, say, natural forms, such as, especially in crystalline patterns that are very square, and it just seems very odd to see very straight lines in nature, and I found that kind of interesting, very fascinating. So I kind of want to have that mysterious, almost beyond experience that is kind of not made by a person, but it's kind of, and if it is, it's very old and has some something or other.
You know, it really reminds, for some reason, I keep thinking of alien spacecraft.
That would be the one
with the texture that you have over there. That, yeah, to me looks like that comes from a spaceship that's been out in space forever.
And you know, that's kind of the thing, because what I'm looking at is geologic formations,
right.
And you do get that kind of, like, especially with like pyrite, when it's like the nice cubes and whatnot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you see that kind of patterning everywhere. You see it in snowflakes. You see it
right.
Even in like how crops and farmland are set up.
Mm-hmm.
So really, and that's kind of what's intrigued me, is this patterning just kind of pops up, whether it be natural or man-made.
Right.
So I mean, it could be a lot of different things at the same time. People have seen, like, you know, a top view of a cityscape. Kind of this universal thing about lines and parallel lines put together. Somebody asked me if I was a very mathematic person, because I like these straight lines, and God, no, I am absolutely awful at math.
Do you address anything specific in your work?
I completely avoid that.
You avoid having to associate anything with your work?
Outside of its aesthetic, yes. I do not want anybody to look too hard at my stuff in that sense. Because if you do that, you kind of shy away from what's in front of you. And it's natural for people to look for meanings and whatnot, even in abstract work. But for me, I'd say that it's the form itself is extremely interesting. And if you kind of tag on something such as a political or social commentary, it just kind of defeats the purpose of it. You know, government runs 99% of our life. Why would I use that 1% of freedom to kind of fold back into that?
So do you say you want your work to be more of just an aesthetic experience?
Yeah, I mean, I like to design my work. Usually I like to make it darker, because it forces people to get up close. It forces them to have a prolonged viewing experience with it. And I think, for me at least, color can seem kind of cheap and cheesy. That for me, it's almost too much. There's just too much color. And I like to have just this very nice kind of easy you in kind of a thing, and let you look at it longer.
So you purposely stray away from color?
Well, yeah, I obviously I use it, but I use it sparingly. It seems kind of manufactured. I like natural, such as like the tar has a really nice colors I'd mentioned earlier.
Do you think there's more associations with colors? Let's say, to go on the opposite spectrum, like bright colors.
Oh,
it's a definite association, as opposed to the darks, the browns, the blacks, the grays is sometimes that you use.
Both spectrums have connotations from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you can also take advantage of that. Making very creepy painting with really bright colors is even like pretty shocking.
Okay.
It's not really my cup of tea.
What's the strangest question or funniest comment you've gotten about one of your pieces? Or maybe something you get a lot?
Oh, for a while, I might be switching it up, okay. Finally. But for the longest time, I've been naming my works after food. And the reason I did that is actually one of the earlier paintings I had a color in there that reminded me of Cheetos, so I called it Cheetos. And then from there, I just kept on kicking off, you know, smart kind of names for my paintings, because I really, really dislike people that have overly convoluted and really just gross titles for their paintings, and it just kind of, even if the painting's good, it just turns me off completely when I see that really gaudy name. So I decided to kind of twist it and just be off in left field with them.
Okay, do you think you'll keep that up?
Maybe, yes and no. If the name needs a proper name, we'll give it, but otherwise it's just gonna go with the food.
Did it always correlate with the color, or?
Not always. For instance, like this rusty piece here, I named it steak because it was like the best part of that corrugated steel that I got. And it's not even colors, it's just kind of, when I'm doing it, I'm like all of a sudden, oh, this is gonna be so-and-so. It's just kind of during the thing, I'm not thinking about it after. It's usually during the process that I actually come up with the name. Or somebody else comes up, hey, that looks like jerky. Okay, I'll go with that.
Do you have certain people you study when you're working? Whether to assimilate them or like differ from them, any that you keep in mind?
Well, there's always artists I keep in mind, whether I'm liking them or avoiding them. For example, I really like Franz Klein, Eva Hesse, Anne Truitt, Arnaldo Pomodoro, Mimo Rotello, Blinky Palermo. I mean, I could just keep on going. But I mean, it's having that kind of verse to know where you are and where your art is in comparison to art history in general. Not only what you like, but the entirety of art history.
Have you ever been discouraged as an artist? Discouraged in the profession that you're seeking?
There's always some. I mean, I always get, you know, people tell me, oh, how are you gonna make art? You're gonna be a starving artist, which by the way is one of my pet peeves, like, oh, you're a starving artist. I don't know about that. But other than that, when people say that kind of stuff, that more or less motivates me more, just to prove them wrong.
So what are your aspirations for the near future or the far future?
For the near future, I want to get residencies, fellowships, grants. My plan, hopefully, been working on them, is to do fellowship or grant or so-and-so for a year or two, just to kind of be outside of the school setting in preparation of going back to grad school. And if everything works out, if I get enough recognition and whatnot, then I won't even have to pay for it, which would be amazing. One of the main things I've been coming across with like grants is you have to be an established artist, whatever that means, kind of coming into this whole art scene low on the totem again. So I gotta start working my way back up, which is actually kind of fun, being the underdog right now, being able to have a fresh start.
Do you think creativity is universal?
Oh, yeah.
To the human condition?
Oh yeah.
So what sets the artist apart, if you will? What makes you different from the average person?
That I have the balls to actually do it. Everybody, I know Picasso, I believe, said that everybody's an artist. It's those people that actually believe that they can do it. People are discouraged early on because they're told that, oh, it doesn't look like so-and-so. If you're trying to paint a picture of a flower, it doesn't look like a flower, and somebody mentions that, you get discouraged and you just internalize that you can't do work. And I guess, for me, I guess I never internalized that, so I just kept on going.
So what do you think the artist's role in society is or should be?
I think art in general is an interesting medium that you can physically see what somebody was thinking. And I think that's very interesting that you'd be able to, this is like the one opportunity you actually get to see how somebody's thinking physically. And I've always think that's kind of interesting and kind of understanding just in general like human psyche. It's also a good way of monitoring how people perceive different things, for example. It's definitely necessary. It's more important than many people give credit to it, such as people who are cutting programs in school, which is an awful thing. Mm-hmm. It's nice practice in the right brain, even though their schools are usually based on the left brain, kind of.
So this is kind of a fun question.
Okay.
If you could show with any artist, alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Huh. Thomas Kincaid, so I could punch him in the head.
Okay. Why is that?
Because he's basically instilled the sense of kind of the Midwest good art, which is just throwback, gross Rococo looking stuff. When somebody comes and looks at work that challenges that, they're confused and they don't like that because they want to see pretty things and they want to see bushes and flowers and that kind of stuff. And you get that in the Midwest all the time. What I like to do is kind of try to show people that there's more than just deers and cabins and all that fun stuff.
This kind of leads me to another question I found earlier. If the general public doesn't understand contemporary art, it's not because they're stupid, it's because art has gotten stupid. Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
There's some contemporary art that's very stupid. Although there's always kind of that really snobby aspect of art that you have to be in it to know it kind of a thing. And
it's like it's only good if people don't get it. Like if your grandma likes it, it's not art.
No, if my grandma likes it, I'd be thrilled actually. Because if she likes the kind of abstract stuff that I do, then that's even better. But there's definitely some really snobby art, and actually I really like some snobby art. And there are elements of that in mind, but I'm not gonna go to that extreme of looking at a blank canvas for 2.5 hours and then putting a red stroke in the corner and saying it's done and it's a masterpiece.
Do you go about marketing yourself?
Yeah, I like to do it through word of mouth. I'm not really look at Facebook kind of a person. When you push it too hard, it gets really annoying. And that's with anything. But I like bringing people here in person because, you know, whenever you take pictures of something, you always lose a little bit of the work. So I like to have a more interactive kind of a thing, like a one-on-one, or have like a group of people come to look at my art and then kind of talk about it and do word of mouth. Artists always have to promote themselves no matter what you do. Obviously, the gallery's a place to show, not always the best place to show, with ridiculous commissions that they take off your paintings, ridiculous fees that you have to get into. So I think people kind of taking it that upon themselves to do that is kind of a reaction to that. I've had shows in my own house just to show work and have people come together. It's always fun to have people come and just get together and look at art. And then you have that kind of intimate experience like I was talking about earlier, where you can one-on-one explain what's going on and then they can ask questions. Because I like this dialogue. I don't like having my work being kind of this one-sided thing that doesn't, it's cold. I want to be able to kind of explain what's going on. And I think that enriches it.
What advice would you give someone who wants to pursue a career in art?
Work hard. I spend, on average now, probably 4.5 hours a day in the studio, not including weekends. Just make sure you love what you're doing. I mean, you got to keep on pushing it, I guess. And don't be content with what you're doing, because stuff that I did a year ago I thought was just amazing. Now I'm doing stuff that puts it to shame. Just don't stop.
Okay. If someone wanted to know more about you, mm-hmm. You said you kind of like to stay off the grid.
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
I do have a Flickr stream. I actually just looked at it today because one of my friends wanted to see it. But that's a little bit older stuff from last spring and the show I had in April.
Well, thank you for taking your time to interview with us.
Yep. Well, thanks for interviewing me.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.